placed in your heart to deliver to your people. That's crazy. That's utterly not.
Everybody has a right, Dr. Demery, to ask a question. They always, anybody who doesn't understand anything, have a right to get clarity. These are one of the things we should be teaching. Don't walk away, like Dr. Demery said, don't walk away disbelieving just because it came out of my mouth.
Right.
You know, and I tell someone, go do the research. Go do the research. But we got such lazy folk now. They want you to research, spoon fed to them, and carry them to glory. Okay?
That's right. And bring lunch too at the same time.
Yeah, there you go. I'm turning it back over to William.
No, you guys are doing fine. As a matter of fact, hey, thank you so much. I was enjoying you and Dr. Demery for a while. I had some unexpected guests to come into the studio. And so that's why I asked you guys to carry on. And, you know, I started not to even come back on because you guys were just doing such a great, great job. Thank you so much. But, and then the guest left about 15 minutes ago. I didn't sit back and listen to you and Dr. Demery. I really did because I was enjoying that. And Dr. Demery is so right. I told Dr. Demery this story one time that I had lunch with this pastor. And it was a great conversation. And I said, Pastor, perhaps you might want to use this conversation in your sermon. He says, oh, no, brother. I told Dr. Demery about this. He says, no, I wait for the Lord to bring me my messages. And I said, wait a minute, hold it. I'm thinking to myself, how you know that the Lord didn't give me this to give to you? Because God uses people, right? Sometimes, and if I were a preacher, I would look and live on life experiences and the people around me, and there's always a sermon. If you look around you and what's going on right now, there's something that you can relate. Like you say, you always use Dr. Sims. You say, I'm going biblical. I'm going back to the Bible right now. Mm-hmm. There's everything that happens in our lives right now that you can relate to the Bible. And the problem that I have, and I want both of you to address this. This is something I was just thinking yesterday. And Dr. Sims, you mentioned this, and this is right on point. And you said, people don't want to go to church today. I know I'm paraphrasing you. I don't know exactly how you said it, but people don't want to go to church today. And then you have to ask yourself the question, well, why is that? Because when we were growing up, the churches were always packed. On Sunday, you could barely, if you get there late, you won't have a seat.
Right.
Okay. But why people don't want to go right now? You know why? Because if you go to a restaurant, they're out of food. You're not going back to that restaurant. People need to be fed. And now, this is the thing about it. And I really want both of your take on this because I can't think of two better people to ask this question. Why is it that these preachers, they preach from a past perspective and do not relate it to current events and current life? Okay. Mm-hmm. Going back to Moses, or going back to Jesus rather, and coming all the way up through that, before there were even electricity, before there was the internet, before, you know, and I have a question to ask about that as far as technology is concerned, because the pyramids were built and some tell me they had to have something, a laser like to cut those rocks. I don't know. I really don't know, because everything is perfect the way these things are aligned. And this happened way before any of us were even, before our great, 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 great parents were even thought of, right? But why is it that, and this is my perspective, preachers do not connect the Bible to the present. They don't teach from that, where I can learn. Okay, now I'm not back there with Moses right now. I'm right here, and this is 2022. How does that relate to me, and how could this make my life better? How can I be a better person? How could I be a better Christian, whatever you want to call? Well, a better with my spirituality. Dr. Sims, you want to go first on that?
Yeah, you know what? That's a really good question, because a lot of times people are stuck in the, and the Bible said, let us move away from the principles. We know about, you know, I think I brought this up last time, be baptized in the name of the Lord, being filled with His Holy Spirit, knowing that Jesus bled and died, knowing that He was born. And sometimes people are just so stuck in the Old Testament. I says, now, the Old Testament were stories, parables that we can feed off of and we can parallel for today. It takes a leader who is conscious of what today is going on. I said nothing's new under the sun. It may be coming around different, but it's yet the same. Okay? Mm-hmm. The outcome is the same. The experiences are the same. And it's more defined. And in fact, in this season, I believe it's even escalated on the children of God, because a lot of them are still ignorant to the fact of what even went on in the Old Testament, okay, to bring it on over to the New Testament. A lot of times people, they're stuck in the Old Testament because they're afraid of the New Testament.
Mm.
Does that make sense? They're afraid of the New Testament because there's a requirement, because Jesus bled and died. He gave us laws and principles to follow, and some of those laws and principles are too strenuous for many. And I hear a preacher says, God came and did away with the law. And this is the teaching that they're teaching. And I thought, how can you say that when Jesus himself said, I didn't come to do away with the law, but I came to fulfill it. In other words, and I was thinking about this last night. He said, I came to fulfill it. I came to show you that you can live by my commandments and it not be a hardship to you. Okay?
Come on now.
In other words, thou should not kill. Thou should not steal. Those things still, thou should not bear false witness against the neighbor. Those laws are still in effect. But when I hear somebody tell me, you don't have to, God did away with the law, and they don't define what they're saying, then they have misled a body of believers.
Mm.
They have misled a body, because you have to abide by the laws of the land. If you steal something, if you kill somebody, you're going to jail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Period. Right? So if God established laws that we abide by, then you won't steal. Then you won't kill. Okay? You won't have to go to jail. Mm-hmm. Period. Because you're abiding by the law. America is known to develop a lot of their laws according to the word of God. Period. Okay? So when I hear a leader preach in error, as Galatians says, many have fallen prey to their own flesh, being led away, being seduced by doctrines of devils. And they teach this kind of thing. They don't want the people of God to really get rich in the word of God. And I said this before.
Mm.
I said this before. People are lazy. They will not study. Okay. They will not form their own relationship with the Lord. One of the things that I minister, Dr. Demery and William, when I do teach, I have to parallel it. When I say, I use words like declutter. Declutter your mind from stuff that would keep you bound. Or what I said, do I have to and why love my neighbor as I love myself? So I'm paralleling those things. And I don't have to go way back in the Old Testament. I'm talking about what I need to do today. There's some neighbors that get on my nerves. And I'm not talking about next door neighbors. I'm talking about neighbors in the church, okay? I'm talking about neighbors in my house, among my brothers and sisters, okay? Because we have to realize, even though they're family, when I come to you and talk to you, I know it's funny. When I come and talk to you, I said, now I had to go minister to my mother one time. And the Lord said, the motherhood's out the door. You're going to respect. But I'm coming to you sister to sister, caring about your soul. Because the Bible says, when you find somebody in a fault, restore them such a one with love. He didn't say restore mama. He didn't say, even though they walk in that call, that is their part of their life. But I'm coming to you as sister to sister now, who is caring about your soul. When I tell you to declutter, that means get rid of the crap that's keeping you hell bound.
That's okay? Right.
With the stuff that's keeping your mind bogged, where you cannot focus on the things of God, where you can't move and prosper in the things of God. Those are the things I talk about. When I talk about, I give a picture of a spirit of deception. One of the ladies said, oh, that scared me half to death. I said, it should. Because that booger is ugly. Okay? So I parallel it today. I make it, God spoke in parables in the word of God. And the reason why, even his own disciples ask him about the parable. Thank you, Lord. Ask him about the parable. He gives that disclosure because it's common for people to understand. And I'm paraphrasing.
Right.
And so I can get so deep and talk the upper echelon, I can talk the White House language. But the one that's sitting in the ghetto, they're looking at me like, where's she coming from? What's she talking about? Ooh. Okay. So you'll hear me go Ebonic sometime. Okay. Paul says, I became as they were that I might gain them. In other words, as educated and as knowledge as he was, he came down to the level that they can understand.
That's
same
it.
With Jesus, the same thing. So Jesus used parables, and even those parables are applicable today. And then you can go on to even your today, your own. That's why I say you got to be transparent too. Okay. Mm-hmm. You got to tell people, look, I once was in this status. I used to do this. I used to do that. Okay. Give a testimony, because we got too many people walking around here acting like they're perfect and know they still be stinking in the nostrils of God. Okay. I'm just being real. He said, your sins come before me every day and they stink. Arrogance and all of that foolishness, acting like people think that you were born with the Holy Ghost in your mouth. You stop lying. God said, we all were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So people have to understand that. And that's the drawing to when people, you got to be real. And I know Dr. Demery is. You got to be real.
That's right.
And if my realness offends you and make you get some act right, then it's doing its job.
Absolutely. Oh my God. You said, you know, your stuff stinking in the nostrils of God. I've never heard that before in my life. It must be original. It must be original.
It is. It's in the word of God. He said,
no, I'm talking about you coming from
me daily.
Oh,
that's what the word says.
Okay. Okay.
I know it's funny, but it's
true. It is true. And what I really like about what you just said was that Jesus used parables. And so sometimes we have to do things differently, whether it is having a funny saying to bring along a true meaning, okay, or to give an example of something that can relate into what you're doing. Break it down. Make it simple, because we need to talk to not the highest, but also the people that may not be so high, or the people that's down there and they're looking at it, struggling. And that's why people are turning away from church, in so many ways, because these pastors aren't bringing anything to them that can help them improve their lives.
William, the pastors aren't caring for the souls.
Well, see, then they shouldn't be pastors.
Well, you know, we know this. We know.
Okay. No, seriously about that. You know, if you had an insurance agent that just told you everything wrong, but your whole livelihood, all of your assets and everything, now how long are you going to keep that guy around? Are you going to fire him on the spot? Okay. Well, do the same thing about these pastors. And so many people are firing their pastors because he's not delivering. Bring things relevant. So make things so. Okay, let's get up there, and it's okay to give scripture up there, and you preaching and you hooping and hollering and stuff like that.
And put them cell phones down, okay, in the pulpit.
Look, please.
Can I be real with this? Put
please.
The cell phones down. I looked at a conference, and I said it in one of my teachings. I said, how can you usher in the presence of the Lord, okay, with you on your cell phone?
You can't.
What is so important to your cell phones, and you standing up there in leadership, and you flicking through the cell phone, but you put it down when it comes to offering time.
Well, let me ask you, well, just
really
what?
Focused in on them.
So if I'm in the congregation, I see you on your cell phone, then it's okay for me to get on mine, isn't it?
And
then why am I there?
Why are you there? Because the Lord came, the Lord's presence. I sat there and I watched this for a long, long time. I said, and the people of God were really trying to praise him. They really were. But how can, because there is a disturbance, a deterrent from, because of, guess what? The Lord can come in and bless his people. You say, well, the Lord's supposed to be there. Well, not all the hellish mess is sitting up in there, okay? The place has to be, number one, cleansed. Number two, people's mind have to be focused on their desires from the Lord. And how can I stay focused on what I need from God? And he said, you're not supposed to watch people. When I'm looking at the leader of the congregation and the various ministers and deacons and everybody pulling out the cell phone. Okay. Mm. They're not looking at scriptures. Okay. I'm going to tell you that's real talk. They're
that's
looking
true.
At messages. They're sending messages and things like that. I literally saw this with my own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter called me. She said, Mama, it's not like it was back in the day. I says, you're right. Now the young people, when they had their day, the Spirit of the Lord, they were praising God like it was a thing to do. But for those, for the most part of that conference, they were all about the cell phones and the money. And that is wrong. And that's why I believe the Lord is writing Ichabod on a lot of these places, because it's a desolate place. The anointing of God cannot come in. Period.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. You know what? And I'm going to tell you something. And this is an admission. I remember, and this is a few years ago, I'm up in the choir stand, and we're sitting down, and the pastor's getting ready to preach, right? So I pull out my cell phone and I'm trying to check something that's going on the radio station as far as messages, because I sent out a post or whatever it is, and I didn't have my phone on mute, and the phone went off right there. And you know what? And then I had to look at myself. I said, wait a minute, hold it. If you're really here to worship, why are you on this doggone thing? Put it down. It can wait until you get off. You remember a time when there were no cell phones, okay? And we're blessed now to be able to come on before the pre-cell phone era and during the pre-cell phone era, right? And we're able to look at all these wonderful things that that thing can do for you. But everything has to be done in moderation and at the right time. Yes. And for what? Now, these things right now, they have been a great, great blessing in so many ways, and they've been destructive and dangerous in so many different ways. That talking about the same cell phone you talk about, Dr. Sims. Mm-hmm. Okay. That thing, you can do anything on it. I mean, it's just like a mini computer, and you can get information, things like that. But then also,
Deacon was sitting in the back looking at pornography.
Well, yes, this is my point. Well, you can go to
in the back
in church
looking at pornography on his cell phone in the church house.
Well, Dr. Dimmer can attest to that.
Somebody was over him to see what he was doing, and they taped him.
Wow.
They taped him on the cell phone and saw exactly. And they put it on social media. So this was another ploy for people to turn their backs on the church, because they feel like this is what's going on. But you also don't have to know, this is the devil's doing.
Of course.
People not believe and trust God because of his exhorts sitting in there doing what they're doing.
Of course.
It's a travesty.
It is. You guys about the story about, real quick, a friend of mine who wasn't going to church, and so she decided to go one day, and the first day she goes there, this deacon grabbed her by the butt on the way out. So, absolutely. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, this has been a fascinating, program. Get out and vote.
Yeah.
And now I know we were talking about the church, and we're talking about these things, and you say, how does that relate to voting? Well, think about this. At one time, there was what was perceived as being a true separation of church and state. But now, even more apparent and obvious right now, the church is just as much involved in politics as anyone. As a matter of fact, those are the proponents of some of these things that's going on right now. They are an instrument, and Dr. Dimmer, you can jump in this real quick, and then Dr. Sims, I know we're going to go over just a couple of minutes, but I want you to talk about that, because the church is just as much involved in politics as any entity that you can think of. You have preachers right now that are, and Dr. Dimmer doesn't allow this in his church, that are promoting and campaigning for and contributing to and endorsing certain candidates. And a lot of these people wouldn't make it, wouldn't pass a job as a dog catcher. Mm. I'm telling you right now, a lot of the politicians right now that are running right now would not qualify for most jobs, especially if you're talking about a Fortune 500 company, or even less, a mid-level company or a low-level corporation. They would not qualify, because there has to be a background check done in this, and these people would not pass the mustard. I'm telling you right now, but yet they get into Congress because they are flunkies. They can be used. They are people that have been put in position that really don't have any qualifications to do anything at all. As a matter of fact, I tell you what, you check their grades in college or in school and stuff like that, I tell you what. So those are the most vulnerable. Anyone who is less educated and sophisticated and doesn't have the moral of servitude, you know, or compass, you know, you're not going to make it in the corporation. Yet we have those people right now we have in the Senate and people that we have in Congress. Okay. Then you have some of these nefarious preachers that will prop these people up. And what is offensive to me, Dr. Demery and Dr. Sims, they invoke the word of God every chance they believe in. What God says, God said that you should be doing what you doing. And so Dr. Demery, Dr. Sims, I just laid a lot on you right now. We got just a couple of minutes. Dr. Demery first and then Dr. Sims, I want you to wrap this thing up. Dr. Demery, my nostrils are getting big here now. The nostrils are flaring up.
I would say that, I preach every Sunday. I have to have a good message every Sunday for my people that's motivating to them, that's challenging them, that sometimes pisses them off. And that's okay with me. I'm okay with that. Because Jesus pissed off a whole lot of people with it. Hung him on a tree and stabbed him in the side with a sword, put a crown of thorns on his head, mocked him, spit on him. But here's the point. When it comes to preaching, I will use everything and anything that will help me exonerate the word of God. Matter of fact, I carry a little notepad around with me when I'm driving. I'll pull over on the side of the road when the thought comes or I see something, God gives me something that will work in a sermon. I will use anything and everything if it's going to motivate people and allow them to come to a better understanding of God's word in their life. I will use it. I don't care what it is, as long as it's nothing, gross or
indecent.
Right.
But as long as it's, in line and I can use it as a tool to teach them, Lord have mercy. I'll holler, I'll jump, I'll shout, I'll dance down the aisles. Well, I can't really dance because I'm in the wheelchair, but I'll do anything to get people to the understanding of understanding God's word.
Amen.
I had a guy tell me in church, one of our new members, he said, Reverend Demery, how come you so passionate about what you do? Because I said, man, this stuff is real. This ain't no joke.
It's life.
I said, the revolution be live. Revelations is live. It ain't televised. When it starts happening, when that beast comes along and that mark gets slapped upside your forehead, you ain't going to turn on CNN. You're not going to turn on CNN or Fox News because it's going to be happening. It's going to be live in your heart.
Right.
So look at it.
You can't play around.
That's right. That's right. When that house is on fire, you better run. You better do something. Dr. Sims, I'm going to toss it over to you, but I'm going to tell you. Dr. Demery is 1,000% correct because I've been to his church. Okay. And I'm sitting in the back of the church, right? And then he will relate to a story that him and I had. He said, yeah, Brother Brown's back there and we did this and we talked about this and talked about that, right? He is very personable with his congregation, right? And and it's not like he won't tell you to say, look, and something you said earlier, that this preacher says, this, I said it. I'm the one who went to school. I'm this. I'm that. I'm the only one qualified. Man, get out of here. Hey, Dr. Demery, that would have been one of them preachers I would have had to tell off. Dr. Demery, look, what? Dude, you are the preacher. You are the man that you said you would call. I want to know who called you. I want to know where did that phone call come from? Because that doesn't sound like a call that came from God, Dr. Sim.
Well, also the Lord, you have to remain humble even in your call. That didn't show any humility whatsoever. In fact, that was quite arrogant.
Right.
For an individual to walk in that arena and a proud person. God can't even stand a proud look. So how you going to toss yourself up there and walk around and act like you all that in the bag of chips? I come sit your happy tail down. Excuse me, Lord. Anyway, that's how I feel. But William, you're saying something about the politics, separate church and state. And I was thinking about something while you were talking. I'll make this really fast. When they tried, the Pharisees and Sadducees tried to trip up Jesus because Jesus was handling heavenly things. And when they tried to trip up Jesus about the money, he looked at them because he knew where they was coming from because he separated church and state then, okay, when he said, render to Caesar, that is Caesar. So you obey the laws of the land. And yes, we have laws that even the church have to obey. But when it comes to our severe walk with God, some things you cannot succumb to because some of these laws are rank. Okay. Some of these laws are going to want you to denounce your God.
Come on now.
It's going to come to that. And so what are you going to do? Are you going to render to Caesar?
Nope.
King of the earth? Or are you going to render to the heavenly things? That's where it's going to come to. Okay. It's either God or mammon. Whichever one you choose, that's who you go with. Now, when you're saying about voting, they got voting in the churches. God ain't never told you to vote no pastor in. Okay, can I be real with this? God ain't never told you to vote no pastor in because a lot of them haven't been to school. They don't know four scriptures and two songs. And you done put them in the pulpit, okay? And a lot of their lives are raggedy because you got people coming from prison to the pulpit. Come on, Dr. Sims. It's real talk. And they, I know it's funny.
Oh, my
but
goodness.
But it is not funny because you don't get qualified, okay, in there. You don't get anointed in there. You get people who've been appointed and voted in, just like politics, okay? God never told us to run the church like that. He says we gonna have it. Everything is done in decently and in order. He never told us to organize him out of it, okay? Because organization is it is not an organism. That's what God is. He's an organism. And he anoints and appoints and put in place. And then he lets those who are in leadership know who to put there if you have the correct spirit of discernment that is coming from God. Now, there's another thing that says that the Lord says, take no thought when you're talking about preaching. I was listening to Dr. Demery. And that's one of the things when Dr. Demery said he pulls over and he writes little things. Even when I talk to my children, I'm writing stuff and said, this is good. The Lord says, yes, to study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed so that you can rightly divide the word of truth. But then he turns around and says, take no thought in that hour what you're going to say, because you don't know who's going to be sitting in the audience and what they need. And only heaven knows. So that's why we have to be able to shift and move in the word of God and talk to the people who is in that specific type need, because we don't know who's going to show up.
Come on.
We don't know what they're going to need. We don't know what their dilemmas are. We know that God led them there, but we have to be, as leaders and ministers and teachers, we have to be so tuned into heaven, because I really believe that heaven is handing out some messages. Heaven is handing out some teachings for his children. And we just have to succumb and be mobile to his call and be humble and take out all of our paper, all of our knowledge, and sit it on the table, okay? And say, God, I will say what you want me to say. I will do what you want me to do. This is what God is calling for. But it's sad to say, a lot of preachers say, I'm going to do what I want to do.
That's it.
Because I know what I want in my pocket. I know what I need to have.
All of that.
I'm going to pimp the children of God. And guess what? I'm going to tell y'all who doing this, you're going to bust hell wide open, okay? And the Lord's not going to leave you. He's going to love you right on the hell. He's going to open the door for you because that's what he will. Period. William, this got me stirred up. You know this, my brother.
I know. Okay? You know, yeah. I tell you what, I'm enjoying this so much, but I've got another show to do in 45 minutes. But I'm going to tell you something. Listening to you and Dr. Demery, and both of you know me well enough to know, I don't flatter people, but I thoroughly enjoyed this show. Now, we have, two or three other folks, Love Ann, oh, she has a sinus congestion tonight.
And
Dr. Tisdale, he's out on assignment, and you know, Dr. Harris, she's still, you know, I'm sure just grieving a little bit. A lot. Her daughter passed away. Mm-hmm. And we love you, Dr. Harris. We love you. We miss you. And you always have a place on this platform. Always, always, always. And get better soon. Dr. Tisdale, Danny Tisdale. Now, Dr. Sims gave you that name, okay?
I sure did.
She sure did. So, anyway, Dr. Demery, man, thank you so much. The Mentone Congregational Church is located where, sir?
1305 Barrel Avenue, Mentone, California. We're right in the corner of Highway 38. In Barrel Avenue, you see the three crosses, make a right-hand turn and come on in.
Come on in. The address again, real quick.
1305 Barrel Avenue, Mentone Congregational Church, right in the corner of Highway 38 and Beryl Avenue, B-E-R-Y-L.
And not too far from the university, Redlands University, right? Redlands University is very close. Redlands, California is there. Okay. And Dr. Sims, her show, excellent, excellent broadcast. Like I said earlier, I had the pleasure of being on. I don't get a chance to be on, much there because, and that's okay. She has an excellent, excellent show. That's Ms. CC's Kitchen that airs every Thursday night at 7 p.m. on the East Coast, 4 p.m. on the West and 6 Central. Dr. Sims, tell everybody, you got about 30 seconds. What do they need to know about Ms. CC's Kitchen?
Well, Ms. CC is a Real Talk Radio Global Network, and we talk about the good, bad, and the ugly, and we address the current issues. And so we address them because we do research on news. We're paying close attention to what is going on. I got something I'm going to address about these royalties that is hiding their ancestry lifestyles.
Wow.
And that's going to be heavy, heavy, heavy. But then they want to crucify somebody who walked away from their propaganda and their lies.
That's coming up Thursday? Is that coming up this Thursday?
Only for God to uncover them as they talk about the royalty that walks away from tradition.
I can't wait for this one. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm getting fired up about this one already. No, you think I'm joking? You know I do not pretend. If I get excited, I'm excited about this one already. I'm not rushing my days here, but Thursday is going to be hot, folks. The kitchen is going to be on fire.
We're
going
to deal with it. Yes, we are. We tell it all.
Oh, my goodness. That's going to be really good. So coming up, ladies and gentlemen, in about 45 minutes, we just went 15 minutes over. And I said, you know, as a matter of fact, when we first started this broadcast, Dr. Dimmer and Dr. Sim, I said, well, Ann's not here. Dan is not here. Dr. Joyce is here. Maybe we'll go 90 minutes. No, I guess that didn't happen. That didn't happen at all. You guys were excellent. Thank you so much. You just made my night. But tune in, ladies and gentlemen, coming up in about 45 minutes. It's Sunday Night Gold. At WB right here behind this MIC. Oh, Dr. Sims, lovely. Thank you. Powerful. Dr. Dimmery. My main man, a quiet but strong and powerful. Thank you so much.
Dr. Dimmery,
excellent job. Dr. Sim, great. Thank you.